Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q1 FY20 earnings conference call, hosted by SBICAP Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dayanand Mittal from SBICAP Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Thank you, everyone, for joining in today's call. So we have with us the senior management team of BPCL, represented by Mr. Vijay Gopal, Director of Finance, Mr. S.K. Agarwal, CGM Corporate Treasury, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, GM Corporate Finance, Ms. Jenny CL, CFM Pricing and Insurance, Mr. Ganesan Jayabal, Senior Manager Pricing and Insurance, and Mr. Girwar Bhattad, Manager Pricing and Insurance. So with this, I would like to hand over the call to management. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Dayanand. Morning, one and all. It's a pleasure to share with you that BPCL has climbed up 39 ranks this year to the 275th position on the Global Fortune 500 list 2019. Before we begin with our call, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that the expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Our results were published last Friday, and we had circulated the handout containing the major highlights immediately thereafter. On the physical front, our refinery throughput for this quarter stood at 7.45 million tons, lower than the 7.74 million metric tons we processed in the corresponding quarter of the previous year, mainly due to the planned shutdown at Mumbai Refinery. Kochi Refinery's throughput at 4.36 million metric tons was about 10% higher than the comparable quarter. Distillate yields were better at 84.98% as compared to 83.5% in the comparable quarter. We have closed the Q1 FY20 quarter with a profit after tax of 1,075 crores rupees as against 2,293 crores rupees in the comparable quarter last year. Profit before tax was at 1,352 crores rupees for the quarter as against 3,382 crores rupees for Q1 FY19. Earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, EBITDA, amounted to 2,718 crores rupees for the quarter versus 4,423 crores rupees for Q1 FY19. Our weighted average GRM for the two refineries for this quarter stood at $2.81 per barrel as compared to $7.49 per barrel for the same quarter last year. GRM was lower due to lower cracks as compared to the comparable quarter. Another major reason for variation in EBITDA was on account of adventitious gain-loss on inventory. Inventory losses for the quarter amounted to 452 crores rupees as against a gain of 2,679 crores rupees in the same quarter last year. Loss under recoveries on sale of HQ-PDS were at 139 crores rupees for the quarter as against 250 crores rupees for the corresponding quarter last year. Net under recoveries after accounting subsidy have been nil for the quarter. CapEx for the quarter has been at 1,760 crores rupees. We expect to spend around 8,000 crores rupees in CapEx in FY20. On the market front, our domestic sales were slightly higher at 11.11 million metric tons as against 10.97 million metric tons in the comparable quarter. The growth was mainly led by petrol around 9%, diesel 0.2%, and LPG 1.13%. We are now open for the question and answer round. As this is a post-results conference call, we request you to kindly restrict your questions to the quarterly performance alone, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Amit Rustagi of UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning and thanks for taking my question. My question pertains to how much outstanding we had from the government at the beginning of the year and where do we stand now on 31st July, that how much we have received out?
As on 31st March 2019, our outstanding was 8,700 crore. We have added 2,301 crore during the quarter. During the quarter, we received 6,799 crores. Our balance as on 30th June is 4,272 crores.
Sir, did we receive any money after the 4,200 crores? In the last 1.5 months?
1,800 crores during the quarter. Why we have not received any payment?
Okay, and sir, recently we have seen the trend of refining margins going up reasonably. So do we see the benefits accruing to us in the coming quarters for both Mumbai and Kochi refinery?
Margins have slightly improved during the month of July. Improvement in cracks. But the price of crude has gone down, if you see, in the last week. And this, if the trend continues, we might have certain amount of inventory losses during the quarter. Not sure, we can't comment.
Okay, sir. And so last question, the numbers for Bina refinery and Numaligarh refinery, if you can give us the GRM and the profitability.
Refinery GRM was $7.5 during the quarter and the net profit was 81.78 crores, and for NRL GRM was $10.67 including ED benefits. Northeast benefit was $15.69 per barrel. Total GRM with ED benefit was $26.36 per barrel. Profit after tax for NRL was 415.64 crores.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. What was the capex during the quarter?
Capex during the quarter was 1,760 crores. And for the year is around 8,000 crore.
So 17 points, okay, 1,760 in the quarter. Okay, thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Varadarajan of Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I wanted to understand a big shift in the crude mix towards in terms of the sulfur content. And secondly, what is the BORL effective ownership we should be looking at as of now? Any incremental guidance on how you are going to progress?
There is no change in the BORL ownership. Some of the news items which appeared, I think they have themselves denied having such discussions with us. We don't anticipate any changes in the ownership structure for the next at least 6 months.
And the shift in crude mix towards low sulfur?
Of shifting from high sulfur to low sulfur depending upon the economics. So with the Brent Dubai differential coming very low, for the April-June quarter it was around $1.4 and at an average, but there were times when the differential was quite low or even negative. Depending upon the economics, that will be a shift between high sulfur to low sulfur or vice versa.
Thank you, but just wanted to dwell on this BORL ownership once again. What should we take as the effective ownership as things stand today? So?
Effective ownership.
Sorry?
50% for BPCL.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manikantha Gare of Access Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Can you please update us on the petchem project at Kochi Refinery, the status of that?
Petchem project phase one, which is CDPP, the phase commissioning will start somewhere from third quarter onwards. Project will consume around 250 KT of polypropylene, which is being produced from KR. Benefits will start accruing from the first quarter of 2020-21.
So would that mean the IMO benefit also may be delayed for us in Kochi Refinery, or that is a different thing also?
IMO benefit will accrue in terms of improved cracks for gas oil, and since R is not producing any furnace oil, whatever benefits will come in terms of improved cracks will accrue to BPCL.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We'll take a next question from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. I have two questions. The first one is on regarding the LPG subsidy mechanism. So currently, I think there has been no reporting of subsidized LPG prices as well as price built up or anything. So has it remained changed, or has there been any change in the same?
Prices are being displayed by PPAC on its website. We are also giving the non-subsidized price, because the price that is being charged to the customer is the non-subsidized price. That is what is being displayed to ensure transparency for the customer.
Right, but there has been no change in mechanism or nothing of that sort, right? And the uncompensated cost element is also continuing.
The uncompensated cost is continuing.
Okay, sir. And second question is regarding the volume growth outlook. So first quarter was quite weak, almost flat growth across the board. But July has been looking up, around 3% growth. YoY growth was reported for the month of July. So how do you see the volume outlook of oil demand in the country for the next 1 to 2 years at least?
You know, no, because the growth in the first quarter was very muted.
Hello.
So this is the operator. We are not able to hear you clearly.
This, what we have found is that in the first quarter of this financial year, the growth has been very muted, especially. Expect the numbers to go up as our economy grows and automobile sector, which is now facing difficulties.
So is 2 to 3% growth rational enough to be taken, or it could be lesser than that for the year?
We feel that the DSL growth has to be at least 2-3% to sustain a GDP growth of 7%, 6.5 to 7%.
Okay, so fair enough. Thank you so much. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Two thoughts. One is on the petrochemical business. What will be the margins you capture on the propylene transfer in the refining margins? And secondly, in terms of the ballpark, you know, upside in terms of revenue and EBITDA margin, assuming say 60-75% capacity utilization for the offshore first project. Next year, can you give us some color on that?
In case of petchem, what improvement will happen is that propylene, which is being downgraded to LPG, will start getting consumed as propylene. So it will have certain improvements in GRM for refineries. As far as petchem is concerned, that is a separate activity, and for that, the whatever margins will accrue, that will depend on the market condition and import parity price of those products which are being manufactured. Currently, it is difficult to give any assessment regarding the margins which are likely to accrue. But we hope that it should definitely accrue. We should get a better margin, but numbers cannot be assigned at this moment.
Okay, my second thought is on the losses to sustaining in the upstream away to BPR. When do you think we can see the losses getting eliminated and generate some cash?
ENP business.
Yes, Bharat Petroleum Resources.
First quarter of this year, BPR consolidated level had gone a profit because we are getting dividends from the Russian investments. Don't expect a significant profit from BPRL in the near future because it has to wait until our investments in Mozambique start earning results, which is expected in 2023-24. But already our investments in Russian assets is giving profit, and the first quarter results of BPRL is showing a profit at a consolidated level.
So in terms of the capex you are planning over the next 2 years, how much of the 8,000 crores will go towards the ENP business?
Can you just repeat your question?
So, in terms of your capex commitment for ENP, how much of the 8,000 crores will go towards BPRL or ENP?
8,000 crores is capturing only a maintenance capex of 500 crores for the upstream. Okay. Does not include any amount towards Mozambique, the FID which was announced in June.
Actually, BPRL will be able to raise its own loans for funding the Mozambique investments. Our capex only captures the equity contribution which is required to be given to BPRL in the first year. Mozambique FID has been announced, and we expect that the corporate at the consolidated level to incur a capex of about $2.5 billion up to 2023-24.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question is a follow-up from the line of Varatharajan of Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, any update on the Numaligarh refinery expansion?
Numaligarh refinery expansion has been approved, and majority of clearances have also been received. And the project will start sometime in third to fourth quarter. The groundwork will start from that time.
Any indication on the capex and the time of completion, sir?
Capex is proposed to be around 22,000 crores, and the timeline is 48 months from the start.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Manikantha Garre of Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again, sir. So can you please give me an update on the West Coast Refinery Project? Recently, there has been news that there is an escalation cost from $44 billion to $60 billion. That's my first question.
West Coast Refinery Project is still in initial stages. We have not finally decided, actually, the configuration, and we are awaiting, first of all, the allocation of sufficient land to set up this refinery. Thereafter, configuration studies are going on. We are not in a position to tell exactly when we will be able to announce the final configuration, and that depends, that will actually be the basis of our final investment amounts for that project.
Okay, but the deal, the commitment from Saudi Aramco and ADNOC is still there, or?
Still very much there.
Sure. And the second question, sir, can you please give an update on your CGD business? What's happening with the new set of geographical areas that have been awarded and the previous ones that you have? How much is the contribution and the progress there?
We have total budgeted capex of around 5,000 crore for all the CGD areas which have been awarded. And as you know that it takes slightly longer time to start incurring capex because you have to get land for developing the city gas station, that main station where the gas will be received from the trunk pipeline. And we are progressing well as far as the project is concerned. Certain projects which were started, like we have already commissioned Upnagar, where we have started selling CNG and PNG both. So they are in various stages of progress.
And this 5,000 crores is over which period, sir?
5 years. We have committed capex as per PNGRB guidelines. We have committed that we, over a period of 5 years, we will achieve certain milestones. And for those milestones, the capex is proposed to be 5,000 crores.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh Sethia from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Two questions from my side. First, if you could talk about a bit on your expansion plan on the marketing outlet side, how many marketing outlets you are targeting to build over the next few years? And secondly, if you could talk about the private competition from other players, because, you know, there have been a couple of deals where international players have taken stake in your competition. And do you think the competition scenario now changes, it increases, and therefore the risk to the margin emerges? Or how do you see this entire competition landscape now relative to what it was, let's say, a couple of quarters down the line?
We have proposed that we will be commissioning around 6,000 retail outlets over a period of next 3 years. This is approximately 2,000 retail outlets every year. Focus area for these retail outlets is largely on rural side plus on highways. We have already started commissioning outlets out of this new lot of LOIs which we have issued. Around 60 outlets of that we have already commissioned during the first quarter. So as far as we are concerned, we are progressing well in terms of our expanding our retail network. As far as competition from private player is concerned, we have to still see that how this development pans out. This announcement has come only a few days back. In the last few quarters, we have not seen any major development happening on the front of private competition. While they have been growing in certain markets where they have already established, but rest we are not seeing any major development happening. We have to wait and watch for how future development finds out of the new alignment which has happened.
So if I can just add one more follow-up. Do you think there is a large opportunity still in the country, even after 60,000 outlets or what we have, to add you know, a significant amount of capacity? Do you think there's a lot of growth still available in the country in that context, or you think growth would be selective? How to think about, you know, essentially the growth and the where these outlets should be?
Growth pattern, if you see, diesel growth has been very muted in last few quarters. The last quarter, the growth was only 0.5%. So we are not seeing any major growth unless until there is a good revival in the economy. See, otherwise the auto sector is going through a very negative growth pattern. Until there is a revival in economy and manufacturing sector, we don't see that diesel growth will happen, which is a major chunk of the product which is being sold. While some growth is happening in the east and northeast sector, which is still underdeveloped, that is where we are focusing currently on expanding our network.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much. One housekeeping question, if I may. What was the refinery operating cost for the last quarter, excluding depreciation?
Our refinery operating cost is in the range of $2 to $2.5. To be precise, it was $2.06 for MR. $2.5 for MR because of certain extra expenditure in terms of capex and the lower throughput. So if you look at per dollar, per barrel, it is higher. But because throughput was lower due to shutdown, it is gone. It is appears to be on higher side. Whereas KR is $2.2 per barrel.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of S. Ramesh of Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
If you look at the share of associates, it's declined compared to the first quarter last year. So, are there any of your associates making losses, or is there a slowdown in some of the city gas ventures? And how do you see it shaping up going forward for the next 3 quarters?
Looking at consolidated profit?
Yes, and the consolidated profit, your share of profit on equity accounted investors has come down from 471 crores to 393 crores.
Mainly, if you see that BORL profit, which was 393 crore in the first quarter last year, this year it is only 81 crores. And in case of NRL also, the profit which was 490 crore last year first quarter, it is 415 crore. So these are the ones which have had a major impact as far as the consolidated profits are concerned.
So can you please repeat the BORL profit for the first quarter last year? 180 crores.
193 crores.
193. No, but these are included in the set-off for minority interest, right? I'm talking about the share of profit of equity accounted investors. Right. I presume that the NRL and your BOR will come in the adjustment of the minority interest, right? Am I correct?
Romani,
you are
referring to the subsidy. There only we reduce the minority interest, but BOR is not a subsidy. It's a joint venture only.
Okay, so it's in the share of G. Okay. And so in terms of your city gas ventures, which will be captured in the share of associate, what is the kind of outlook you have for this year in terms of the growth and profit or the volume growth, and how do you see it going over the next 2-3 years?
So the BOR profitability anyhow directly?
No, I'm not talking about BOR. I'm talking about the city gas associate. That's also reflected in the share of equity accounted investors, right? Hello?
Level of profitability, no? We are not expecting any significant changes.
Hello? Hello?
Are you audible?
No, I'm not able to hear you.
We are expecting the same similar level of profitability from the joint ventures. There is no significant changes we are expecting from the joint venture profitabilities.
No, including the city gas venture.
Sir, if you're speaking right now, we're not able to hear you. There's audio break, I suppose.
Profitability, we are expecting at the similar level only, even from the city gas distribution joint venture. We're not expecting any significant changes in the profitability.
Okay. So, if I may ask something about your thoughts on the proposal by the PNGRB to discuss fixing tariffs for networks will go out of marketing exclusivity. How do you see that shaping up? And do you expect competition once, say, networks in Mumbai and Delhi are thrown open for competition under open access?
Question is that process of declaring these entities like IGL and MGL as open-ended,
yeah,
and is free to for all, that situation is not likely to happen in very near future. Whatever decision has been taken by PNGRB has been already challenged by IGL in the court. So we are not sure. It will take time for anything to happen. And even if it happens, it is not going to be very easy for any other player to enter into this market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you give the Kochi refinery and Mumbai refinery GRM for this quarter?
Hello? GRM was 3.49.
Mm-hmm. Mumbai? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Mumbai?
Mumbai is 3.49.
And Kochi? You are not audible, sir. I'm sorry.
3.33.
6.33.
Okay. So is Kochi performing as per the expectation?
Kochi, as far as throughput is concerned, is performing as per expectation.
No, no, as far as GRMs are concerned, is it performing as per expectations?
GRM, if you look at based on the assumptions, it is supposed to process get advantage in terms of Brent-Dubai differential in, for low sulfur versus high sulfur. The difference between these two crudes have been very low and it, at times have been negative. To that extent, the benefit which was supposed to accrue to KR has not been accruing. Otherwise, the performance-wise, KR is doing well.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Smart Sync. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, just a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. How many outlets do we have currently? Because I heard that, you know, you are looking to add about 2,000 outlets every year. So how many outlets do we have currently? The reason I ask you this, sir, is because of the deal just announced yesterday. You know, it clearly seems that, you know, the fuel outlets in India are considered to be very precious asset. But unfortunately, you know, I mean, I don't see that happening, you know, as investors for our companies. So if you can please give some light on, you know, the outlets and, you know, what's the marketing strategy we have, you know, basically going ahead. So my second question to you is on GRMs. You know, we've seen a very good revival in GRMs, you know, over the second quarter of this financial year. So can we assume that, you know, we should be close to Singapore benchmark GRMs or even slightly higher, for the quarter? And sir, thirdly, you know, can you please also give, you know, a little bit of update on your marketing margins? Because I see that marketing margins, you know, have been faring quite decent. And in fact, one of your peers also had a conference call and they have guided very good marketing margins, you know, for the rest of this year as well. So can you please throw your some outlook, you know, on the following three topics, sir?
It would have been better if you had asked one question after the other because these three questions...
Oh, sorry.
It did, but okay, I will try to take the first question. As far as the retail outlets are concerned, we have today about 14,900 outlets. Coming 3 years, we are actually planning to set up 2,000 outlets each. On the other question was... On the marketing margin, we are having a normal marketing margin per liter. There are some ups and downs in certain days or certain weeks. But otherwise, for example, the first quarter, we have had only normalized marketing margins of around 1.95 rupees per liter for both diesel and petrol.
Okay.
What is your other question which has remained unanswered?
The other question was on the Singapore GRMs. So currently, I mean, you know, we've seen GRMs averaging about $6, you know, so far. So should we basically be able to be equal to the benchmark or slightly higher? Hello?
Can be probably taken, but in terms of numbers, it will be difficult to say that the refinery margins in India will actually be correlated to Singapore margins because Singapore refineries are essentially gasoline-oriented refineries.
So what's the fair assessment of GRMs we should expect, sir?
Refining margins of our Indian refineries in the second quarter also could be slightly muted because of the crude prices are coming down in the first, especially in the second quarter, especially in the month of August. Expect the crude prices for the Q2 to be slightly lower than what was the crude prices in the first quarter. Therefore, it will reflect in some sort of inventory losses in refineries unless the price level changes significantly from today. I do not think that we will have a $6 margin for Indian refineries or our refineries in the second quarter. We expect improvement in the refining margins in the third and the fourth quarter.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Ahuja from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So, wanted to know about Bina refinery operating costs.
$10.5.
2.5. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's $2.5 you mentioned.
Bina has a element towards freight also.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. It's not clear. Can you please mention again about the operating cost at Bina?
We will just come back with it.
Okay. Details of expansion plan at Bina? I assume you want to add some capacity there.
Bina has completed its low-cost debottlenecking project from 6 million metric ton per annum to 7.8 million metric ton per annum in the last year. We do not have any immediate plans for Bina expansion. Depending upon how demand grows, we will take a call in the near future. Having said that, Bina definitely does have the space and other necessary requirements for scaling up from 7.8 to 15. But we will take a call and commit the investment once we see the growth in demand.
So, from the perspective of Oman Oil, are they in agreement to invest more equity in it or with the expansion plan, or you going to, there could be some change in ownership structure there?
We are still in discussions with Oman on plans to invest in the expansion plan as and when it actually takes shape. As at the moment, we are not discussing with other investors for this.
Right. You also had expansion plan at Numaligarh. Could you please explain the status of that?
Yeah, but the board has approved an investment in Numaligarh refinery, expanding its capacity from 3 to 9 million tons, investment of about 23,000 crores. And we find two reasons to justify this investment. One is that the eastern side of the country, the growth in products consumption is much, much higher than what we experience in the, compared to other places. And secondly, we expect to get and continue to get the benefit of excess duty benefits, which is available to the northeastern refineries.
So the benefits would continue, there is no sunset clause for the benefit. It would just continue till the... till the time it's notified by the state government. That's how it works?
We are given to understand that there is no sunset close to this meeting.
Right. So lastly, on Mozambique, could you explain what's the status now since that FID has been finalized, and how is the JV progressing with the CAPEX plan over there?
Of 2019, and the major contracts are being awarded. Most of these contracts were kept frozen, and we were only waiting for the FID announcements.
Right. Hello.
Are you able to?
I didn't get it, sir. Can you please repeat that?
See, we have announced the FID in the month of June of 2019.
Right.
And all the major contracts and the SPAs were actually finalized before that. And all the major contracts are now being awarded in stages. Most of them will get awarded in this quarter itself. We expect the progress of Mozambique to be very satisfactory, and the first gas to come out as announced by 2023 or beginning of 2024 calendar year.
So what will be your share of CAPEX, and could you share what will be the funding arrangement from your side?
The CAPEX for the first two trains development will be $2.5 billion at a consolidated level.
Right. Hello?
$1.5 billion at the consolidated level will be our share of CAPEX for Mozambique.
Right, got that. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we would like to remind participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thanks for your time. Just want to understand, is there any facilitation agreement for other private players currently that, let's say, if they want to pick up product in Kerala or let's say, in Maharashtra, they can pick it up from you or they'll have to manage, source it on their own?
It depends on the kind of commercial agreements which we can have with them. And depending on our availability of product.
Okay, so currently, be it SR or Reliance, we do supply products to them in these locations.
Can you repeat this question once again, please?
No, I was asking, in Maharashtra and say in Kerala, because we have the refineries there, do we have a facilitation agreement or let's say currently we supply Reliance and SR for their marketing division, do we supply petrol and diesel or they have to manually or they have to source it from the nearest, they have to source it on their own?
We are supplying Cochin refinery products to Reliance and SR for their southern operations.
Oh, we are supplying to them. Got it, sir. And secondly, in general, in your understanding, are the most volume-wise, are all the locations taken, or you still think that the heavy volume locations a lot needs more coverage? This question is more in the light of the competition. Is what I'm asking.
EPCL is actually, as we were mentioning earlier, expanding our retail network because we see further potential to grow in the marketing segment. Our per retail outlet volume is the highest in the country among the players, excepting the new private players who are concentrated on only very certain. We have a confidence that our market growth will continue. The share of the market share will grow from the present 29% to 31% as we grow in terms of number of outlets from the present 14,900.
Okay, got it, sir. And just if you could explain the capital expenditure split for the for current year, this 8,000 crores, and also if you could give the number for the next year.
So, out of the 8,000 crores planned for the current year, okay. It came around 1,825 crores, pipeline around 300 crores, 2,500 for marketing, and all others like research and development, JV investment put together, the remaining. So CGD and gas business around 200 crores. And ENP upstream, it is around 800 crores.
Okay. And for the next year, if you could give the number?
Next year, refineries around 4,000 crores. It came 3,000. Pipelines 670, marketing 2,800, upstream 1,200, gas and CGD 450 crores. Upstream will be only equity investments.
Upstream will be. Just one final question for the Kochi side. So, assuming the Brent Dubai wide differentials widen and light heavy widens, can we go to what level can we grow into go to in terms of crude sourcing in terms of the heavy high sulfur crudes?
We have the potential to process 100% high sulfur crude. Prices are attractive.
Got it. And currently at what level are we there at Kochi, sir?
About 80%.
80%. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir. So we are not able to hear you.
There was a question on Bina OPEX. So Bina has an OPEX of $2 plus a placement cost of $1. Total OPEX for Bina is $3 per barrel. We thank SBI Capsec for arranging the con call, and we are happy to interact with the investors and analysts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of SBI Cap Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.